Welcome back to the Section 5 podcast. We're here immediately following the Celtics play-in tournament victory over the Washington Wizards when they defeated Washington 118-110. So the Celtics have officially clinched a playoff spot. They hold court and they stay in the seventh seed. And they will be facing the Brooklyn Nets in the first round of the playoffs, getting started in a few days, getting started on Saturday. So I'm here with Trey and Adam. We're going to dive into today's game, talk a little bit about what we saw, and also give some really quick predictions on what we see coming for the Celtics in this first round series. And really kind of a spur of the moment thing, as we just found out, obviously, within the last few minutes that they will be facing the Nets in the first round of the playoffs. So let's just dive right into this game. Really a fun game to watch, an entertaining game, especially if you're a Celtics fan, because by the end it got pretty comfortable, even though there were some spots where you kind of had your doubts. But I think it was, despite being an 18-point spread, an entertaining game to watch, and one that up until the last few minutes still had some little bit of doubt, just because things kind of at times seemed to maybe be falling in place for Washington. But Adam, let's start with you. What's your quick just spur of the moment reaction to tonight's game?
I mean, spur of the moment, it's Jason Tatum. It was his coming out superstar game tonight. I mean, 50 points. He got to the line 17 times, and you know, that was just him being aggressive, taking it to the hoop and getting that offense that we needed, you know, during this game. Washington, they fell behind in the first quarter, but they made that run in the second quarter, and they made the Celtics look like that team that could just, that went through those offensive droughts that we've seen so many times this year. And it's kind of into the late second quarter, Tatum just got it going, and it just snowballed into the third quarter where we just went on, I believe it was like a 17-2 run to start the quarter. And it just showed his, you know, his growth, his maturity, at least for tonight, in the must-win game that we didn't want to have to play for the season in two games against Indy. So it was great to see him step up. It was exactly what we needed, and you know, hopefully a precursor for what goes on next round.
Yeah, and Tatum, he was playing well throughout the whole game, but early on he didn't shoot well. So he was still getting to the line a little bit. He was scoring. He was contributing. But you looked at his shooting line, and it wasn't good. And it was a tight game. Wizards fell behind early because they were just turning the ball over a ton. And that really continued throughout the course of the game. But as Tatum started to pick it up, you start to think, okay, they have a heck of a shot here. And Tatum's going to carry this team. I'm watching this game when the Wizards are up, and I'm thinking they need a big, big superstar night from Tatum, because this team's pretty thin. Fournier didn't shoot the ball well at all. He was 3 for 11. And you know, relying on Marcus Smart to score for you is just, you're not going to have a good time. And you know, Kemba's been great. Kemba had another really good, great game, but really they needed it to be Tatum. So I was thinking in the second quarter, if they don't get 40 from Tatum, like there's a good chance that they can lose this game. And Tatum did that and then some, and really just made it happen, and is, you know, the primary reason why they're going to the playoffs, and why they're not preparing to play Indy in a couple of days. Trey, what was your reaction to the game?
So as Tatum stated after the game, you know, in regards to Bradley Beal, he said that he wanted to come in and win this game against Bradley Beal. He didn't want to hear about it in the future that, you know, Brad got one up on him. So he was motivated to come in and get this win. He dropped 50 points in the process. As Adam mentioned, he got to the line 17 times and was perfect. And then the second leading scorer was Kemba Walker with 29 points. Kemba's been on fire for at least a 10-game stretch now, where it seems like he's been able to score us 20-plus points or so, whether we win or lose. I think it's important that he gets in a rhythm and he gets comfortable and ready to make shots as we get into the playoffs. So Kemba with 29 points, 7 rebounds, and 2 assists and 2 steals. I thought he was a key contributor. And then Tristan Thompson was our third leading scorer. We only had 3 guys in double digits. Tristan Thompson was able to get us 12 points and 12 rebounds. He was an important piece of tonight, especially after seeing the injury to Robert Williams. Robert Williams, I guess the official injury is that he aggravated that turf toe. He hyperextended it. And so I'm not sure, you know, how that's going to go forward in the Brooklyn series. If he'll be back, doesn't sound too optimistic. It's a player who's already was fighting injury with that toe. So, you know, we're going to be reliant on Tristan Thompson a little bit more. But again, he was our third leading scorer. Liked what I saw from him. And then, as always, I like the hustle that we saw from Aaron Nesmith, although he only had 3 points. And liked what I saw from Romeo Langford today, even though he also only had 3 points. Just the fact that they came in for a second and played hard means a lot to a team that is desperately going to need help from other players outside of the starting 5. And then just to mention one other guy, Evan Fournier, he only had 8 points, 6 rebounds and 4 assists. But it seems to me as though every time he gets the ball in his hands, he does the right thing with it. And I call it Point Fournier. I love when he has the ball in his hands and he's playing that point forward role. Because again, he always breaks down the defense, gets into the lane, kicks it out to the right person. And whether it's a hockey assist or a direct assist, he makes the right play.
Right. Totally agree on Fournier. He didn't shoot well, obviously. Judging by, you know, his numbers, you can see he was 3 for 11. But the shots that didn't go down, like, they weren't bad shots. They just, a couple of them rolled out. He back rimmed a couple that were, you know, decent looks. So he didn't play overly poorly. It's just his shots didn't fall. So I expect that to not be the case going forward. If he does what he did tonight, those shots are going to start to fall a little more, and his line will look a lot better, and the team will be all the better for it, just because he's a guy that they are relying on. He played 36 minutes tonight. So he was second on the team in minutes behind Tatum. And he's going to have to be that the rest of the way if they want to have any chance in hell at beating Brooklyn, because they need their top guys to perform. I did want to talk about Nesmith and Langford a little bit. Nesmith, you had mentioned he only had 3 points, but that was a big, big 3-pointer. It was one of the best plays of the year, where Smart has good open look for 3, and Smart usually shoots that, and it's not always the best result. At the last second, he made the extra pass over to Nesmith, who was wide open, and he buried it like a veteran. So Nesmith is going to have some of those opportunities, and, you know, he's going to need to knock those down, because the Celtics are going to be really relying on him for some scoring. And he did his normal thing too, where he was hustling back on defense. He had, you know, a big block late in that game. He grabbed a couple of boards where he just kind of came screaming into the paint and grabbed the rebound. And Romeo did that as well. We've criticized Romeo a little bit in the last couple of shows, and we just keep saying, don't be invisible. Romeo played 14 minutes tonight, and he was not invisible, playing really solid defense. He was, you know, crashing the boards a little bit. I think he had 4 rebounds. For a guy of, you know, in his position playing that few minutes, that's a pretty good number, and that's a pretty good impact. And, you know, he only had 1 bucket, but the ball was swung to him in the corner. He had a decent look. I was thinking, go ahead, take that shot. It was a little contested, but instead he beat his man to the hoop and finished. And it was something that just made me stop for a second and say, like, wait a minute, where is that? We need more of that from him. And if he's able to do that, even just a couple of times a game, he's going to be a plus player for them, and he's going to help them in the few minutes that he gets.
Yeah, I would just say Romeo showed exactly what I thought he was capable of, that he can hustle. But what I've been seeing from Nesmith, it just seems to be on a different level.
For sure.
He has less gaps in between his hustles than Romeo Langford. But I would say that the thing that I really liked from Nesmith is the fact that he missed, you know, one of the threes that he missed tonight. I think Marv Albert was on the call and he mentioned Marcus Smart taking the three, but I believe it was Aaron Nesmith, and he jab stepped a three, and then he just pulled up. And to me, that's important because that shows that you're confident, no matter who's in front of you, that you're going to take a shot. And that's what I like to see. Want him to play with confidence, whether you make him miss it.
Yeah, he's a knockdown shooter, and we knew that when he was coming out of college. And he needs to play with that confidence because that's his game, and that's where he's going to add the most value, especially to this team with Jaylen being out. They need to find scoring somewhere, especially if they're going to beat the Nets, because the Nets firepower is just out of this world. So they need him to be that, take those shots. They need him to hit those shots too. And man, I'm glad that you mentioned Marv Albert calling him Smart, because he was calling everybody Marcus Smart tonight. Like, my God, Marv, I know you're retiring. Good, please. You completely lost your fastball. You look like that pitcher last night who went viral throwing 47 miles an hour. Like, that is Marv Albert's fastball now. And oh my God, it's tough to watch. He made the game really, really difficult to enjoy, to the point where I put on music and I just watched it on mute because I can't get myself.
How far away is he sitting? Is he sitting like much farther away than normal?
I'm not sure where they were tonight. I would guess they're right there on the floor, right? Because Mike and Scal weren't there.
Yeah, so I mean,
so for the GMT broadcast, they're usually right there.
Yeah, they're not courtside, but they're not like in the balcony or anything.
Right, yeah, they're not in the promenade or the rafters or whatever they call it now. Like, they're in a good spot. And they have, you got a monitor that's doing the work for you anyway. So, like, man, 36, 26, okay, fine. Make that mistake once, but my God, he was calling everybody Smart. It was just driving me insane. But anyway, the Celtics played a great game tonight. They were awesome. They came out and played maybe their best game of the year. They gave their effort, you know, from beginning to end. They got punched in the mouth a little bit and they just responded to it, which was a great, great thing to see. And Washington really didn't play well. Westbrook was off tonight. He had, I think, 13 rebounds in the first half. So that was something that was really making an impact, because I think four of those were offensive. So he was cleaning up some messes, giving them some second chances and helping them stay in the game. But he just didn't have it tonight. And Beal struggled a little bit early. What's up?
No triple double tonight for Russ.
No triple double. And he left the game a little early too. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him going forward in the next couple of days. But overall, great win for the Celtics. Really survival more so than anything else. Like, they got the 7 seed. We were hoping they'd be higher than that, but it's where they are. So, you know, no celebration or, you know, pumping your chest on anything like this, but I mean, you survived, you live to play another day, and now you're on to see Brooklyn. Before we move on to Brooklyn, anything else on tonight?
Yeah, shout out to Elizabeth Swinton and Michael Shapiro from Sports Illustrated, who are the only two of the 8 columnists who picked the Celtics to win tonight.
Can you repeat those names once more?
Elizabeth Swinton and Michael Shapiro.
Yeah, shout out to them.
Yeah.
I just want to point out that Robin Lopez, I hope that you are considering joining the Celtics this offseason. I saw that you gave a hug to Marcus Smart. Maybe you'll consider coming and being our backup center. Moving on.
Yeah, he's been a Celtic killer. So I'd take that skill set for sure. Let's do it. But before we get to free agency and start, you know, grooming players to fill our 8 through 12 spots, we have the Brooklyn Nets coming up. So obviously it's a hell of a tough series. The Celtics were 0-3 against the Nets this year. And this team is just loaded, especially since getting James Harden. Like, they've really been on a roll. They finished the season 48-24. They're one game back of Philly in the East. And, you know, really, Philly went wire to wire. But Brooklyn didn't have Harden the whole season. So if they had Harden the whole season, you imagine they probably would have made up a game somewhere at that point. So they finished a full 12 games ahead of the Celtics. That's a pretty hefty gap, especially in a shortened 72-game season. So I'm going to ask you guys, do the Celtics have a shot to win this thing? Not all at once now.
I mean, a shot. I mean, yeah, of course we have a shot. I would just say that, you know, the Celtics better not – oh, no, the Nets better not let the Celtics win one of the first two games. That's all I'm going to say. You cannot afford to split one of those games with the Celtics in Brooklyn. And as a Celtics fan, I'm going to talk hella shit if the Celtics win one of those first two games. So that's where I've come to at this point in the season. That is my silver lining in the season. Do not let the Celtics win one of those first two games or I will be insufferable. You'll be hearing from me.
All right. I'm really, really pulling for him even more now because I just want to see the Trey heel turn and just start going off on people. You might only have it for a couple of days because you know this Nets team's really good and they can come in here and they could win on the road. Adam, what do you think?
I mean, I agree with Trey that, you know, a split in the first two games would be essential. Like, and it would be just essential in this series. The Celtics have, they don't have the firepower to match those three guys that Brooklyn has, KD, Kyrie, and Harden. But they have, I think they have enough wings that could just, you know, maybe wear on them a little bit. Harden's had injury problems, and we know his playoff history isn't the best. You know, Kyrie's going to put up Kyrie numbers, especially against Boston. He seems to just, you know, go off against Boston whenever he plays us, whether it's been with the Cavs or at his time in Brooklyn. And, you know, KD's still, you know, he's been KD, but I don't see him. He hasn't been tested out there, I don't think. Guys are kind of, and been taking it kind of easy on him. He's been getting his numbers, but now we're in the playoffs and a lot of pressure's on Brooklyn to come out of the East this year and to even win the finals. They have three of the top 10 players in the league on their team. So there's no reason why they shouldn't, but you know, I like the Celtics getting one of these two games and making it interesting, you know, having Brooklyn come into Boston and playing us here, you know, knowing that if they lose another one, you know, not only the whispers in Brooklyn are going to start, but you're going to hear it all over the country. If the Celtics go up 2-1 or even split the first two, you know, there's going to be a lot of pressure on them. So we've always got a shot. Would I be surprised if Brooklyn takes care of us in like a gentleman's sweep? No, because they're so much more talented than we are, especially the top three guys. But, you know, basketball's played with one basketball.
Keep in mind, this is without Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, and yeah, we're without Jaylen Brown. It's going to be a big challenge, and the only silver lining is that there's not that much tape on us without having Jaylen in the offense.
That's true. Yeah, you're not going to be able to do much, you know, film study with the Celtics running their offense through, you know, Tatum and Fournier. So
yeah, and the Celtics have had in the Brad Stevens coaching 8 years he's been here, they've had the most success in the playoffs when there's not much expected out of them. And this is pretty, the expectations are pretty low for this team. So let's go.
Right. I can agree with that. The expectations are low, but they haven't had a matchup like this early in the playoffs when the expectations have been super low. And they've had a couple of teams that you expect them to beat before they go and face that those teams that are a little bit better than them, or in some cases a lot better than them, like, you know, Cleveland, for example, when you knew Cleveland was better, even if the Celtics were the one seed and they were probably the dogs in those series. But they had, you know, Washington to go through and, you know, a couple of other teams where you look at them and like, Milwaukee, they should beat them. Milwaukee before Milwaukee was Milwaukee, when Milwaukee was the eighth seed. And that was actually a really tough series for them too.
Yeah.
But, you know, this one's a little different because they got the big guy right at the start. So that's where the one piece differs. But Trey, you had your hand up. You wanted to throw something in?
Yeah, I wanted to say that basically it should, like, most realistically, it would be a sweep with at least one of the games being like a close game. that the Celtics could have won. But if we can get a gentleman sweep, and especially if we can win one of those first two games, then yeah, that's a lot to talk about. You're going to be hearing, just like Adam said, you're going to be hearing all the, you know, national shows talking about it. So that's something that we definitely want to do. And just, I don't know, going up against Brooklyn, the Tristan Thompson, DeAndre Jordan matchup, there's no Joel Embiid. So we're not, you know, going up against anything crazy there. Maybe they can go small. They can throw Blake Griffin in. I don't know. Are we going to throw Grant Williams at him at some point? I'm not sure who we're going to throw. But I just think that it's we do have a shot. We do have a shot.
I was going to say, because you know how I feel about Blake Griffin, please, please throw Blake Griffin at us. Throw Blake Griffin at us, Atlantic Celtics. Then you said Grant Williams. And if we're defending anyone with Grant Williams, no. No playoff minutes for Grant. Please. Never. Ever. Ever.
How about Semi Ojeleye?
More than Grant, but no. Like,
can it interest you in a Jabari Parker?
Yes. In the right circumstance. I will take Parker over both of those guys. And regardless of any kind of circumstance or whether where he would play and when he'd be playing, one of those three guys comes in 10 out of 10 times, Parker. Unless it's, you know, 30 seconds left, you need to stop or something like that, then, you know, probably Shemmy. But I just don't trust those guys. We know that they're a lower level of player than they're going to see, especially in this series where Brooklyn is just loaded. We haven't even talked about Joe Harris yet, who I think is just a perfect guy for that team because he's just a complimentary player who does, you know, the little things that they need him to do, whether it's opening up space for them or knocking down the shot when you're focused on the other three guys. So, they're throwing Joe Harris at you and we're throwing, you know, Ojeleye at them. Like that's an L. But do they have a shot? I don't really think so. This Nets team is just so damn good. They are absolutely loaded. I haven't looked at the betting odds, but if I was picking a favorite, I'd say that Brooklyn is definitely the favorite to win the NBA title this year. They got the big three, really the biggest big three in the league right now. And the Celtics really, they got Tatum, and then who's their true probably Kemba, right? If Kemba plays like he has the last, you know, 10-ish games or so, then he's definitely there too. And then you're throwing Fournier in there. Like, fine players, but it just doesn't match up. And you win with the top of your lineup in this league. Like, that's just how the sport works in general. So I don't think that I don't think they have the firepower to pull this off. If they do, like you guys said, they're going to need to get at least that split in Brooklyn. If they get down 2-0, like, you're not beating this team 4 out of 5. Nobody's beaten this Nets team 4 out of 5. So if you go down 2-0, you're absolutely cooked.
Yeah, well, just one more thing. Another way a gentleman sweep could happen is, you know, the Celtics lose 3 games in a row, and then Brooklyn decides to lay an egg that fourth game and just kind of, and the Celtics get that fourth game, and then you get a fifth game. That's how I would envision the gentleman sweep working. But hopefully the Celtics can steal one of those first 2 games, so us Celtics fans can have something to hang our hats on.
Right. Yeah, and it can give a little bit of a silver lining to a season that I think we all agree was a disappointing season. You know, you go against a team that could presumably be, you know, the NBA champion. You give them, you know, a good punch in the mouth in the first round, eventually go home after that first round and, call it what it is. But that could be a little bit of a silver lining. If you give them a little bit of a good run and still lose a series, you say, well, they were out in the first round. It's a disappointment. They were in the conference finals last year, but circumstances considered, like, okay, we'll take it. And we're feeling better than we were, you know, a week or two ago when there was a chance that they could be, you know, going to face Indy, or not going to face Indy because it would be at home, but, you know, facing Indy in a game where, you know, one little thing goes wrong, that's it, you're done, and season's over. So, you know, really excited for the series. It's going to be fun, at least for a few minutes anyway. If Brooklyn's as good as I think they are, it might not be fun for long. And that's not, I know I've been bashing the Celtics the last couple of weeks, but that's not really an indictment on the Celtics as much as just I think that this Brooklyn team is phenomenal.
I mean, you know, definitely without Jalen, it's going to be the biggest challenge we've had in the playoffs in a very long time. But, you know, Brooklyn isn't really a powerhouse defensively. So,
no,
you know, if we could get easy offense going, get to the free throw line, kind of, you know, slow the game down a little bit, don't let it get into a track meet, and just efficiently score the basketball and not turn it over. And yeah, I think we have a chance, but it's a tall mountain to climb. And I'm excited for this series, even though there's a chance we might get swept, lose every game by double digits. I have faith in the C's team that, you know, we're going to get one of those first two. And I can't wait to say I told you guys. So,
yeah, they got to play a pretty much perfect game to win. And to ask this team with the inconsistency that they've had to play four perfect games against a team as good as Brooklyn, like that's a big ask for these guys, especially with their second best player, or some are saying maybe their best player this season, definitely being out. And with, you know, Rob Williams probably being out, at least for the start of the series, you know, didn't look good tonight. He's been out for a little while with that injury already. And a big guy, as explosive as he is with that type of injury, that's just a, you know, really tough to come back from in a matter of a couple of days. So we'll see, but we're getting to the point with him where if you're relying on him to be available, like, it's probably not going to go well, because he's never available for prolonged periods of time. He hasn't been for the past few years.
Yeah. Danny Ainge definitely has to be looking at other alternatives heading into the offseason. I kind of think he did anyways, just not knowing what's going to happen with Tristan beyond next year. You kind of need to start looking at other pieces you can bring in, whether that be the draft or free agency.
Yeah.
Drafted Robert Williams, 27. We should have a pick in the teens this year. And you can possibly get another big, just depends. So, you know, just keep at it, building this team. Hopefully we get a good series versus Brooklyn.
Yeah, like I said, looking forward to it. It's going to be fun, if for nothing else than the storyline between the trade and, you know, Kyrie being there now. You know, it's not quite the group that we'd love to go at them with when we're, you know, meeting them in the playoffs for the first time since that trade. But, you know, it is what it is. And we're going to hopefully watch the Celtics give it, you know, one hell of a shot. And let's see if they can pull off the massive upset.
Bring on Brooklyn is all I got to say, man. Bring it
on. Yeah, I mean, what the hell? We don't have a choice, so we might as well just walk around with some swagger for the next few days anyway and give us your best shot. We're ready for it. And if they play the way they did tonight, then, you know, it's not going to be an easy out for Brooklyn. You know, Celtics played great tonight, so they're definitely finishing I guess you can say the regular season, although it's not even the regular season. It's not the playoffs, but it's not the regular season. It's really that in between. But they're going into the playoffs on a high note, probably their highest note of the season. And they're going to hopefully be ready to go and ready to, you know, to hit Brooklyn with all they got.
And the last thing I want to say is that I hope not to see, you know, as many hugs and embraces, embracing from our guys with this Nets team. I know that they're kind of friends or whatever off the court. They, you know, they respect each other, but I'd rather not see Jason Tatum and the boys dapping up Kyrie before the game.
Yeah, and that's the culture of the league now, right? Because a lot of these guys grew up playing with each other, so they all know each other even before they get to the league now.
But it's kind of just the mentality. It's like, okay, you went into this playing game thinking, you know, I got to bust Bradley Beal's ass, you know. So I want you to go into this playoff game thinking the same thing against the Nets.
Right. Yeah. I mean, shake their hands after the series by all means, no matter what happens. But yeah, I'm with you. I don't need any of that stuff beforehand. That'll do it for this episode. We are ready to go for the playoffs. So we'll be back talking playoffs as the Celtics hopefully have a long run. But even if they don't, we're going to be, you know, talking NBA playoffs, talking draft, a lot of different things that are coming up. But, you know, first things first, Celtics Nets. So series gets started on Saturday. Hopefully it's a nice long series and you know, the Celtics can maybe go out there and shock the world. But until then, give us a follow. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Follow us individually. Follow us at Section 5. And we'll be back soon to talk Celtics Nets.
Go Seas.
Beat Brooklyn.